राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, Charlie,
don't put the book on the floor. Put it on.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे,
Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 18, Text 11.
Nahi deha brita shakyam tyaktum karmanyasheshataha yastu karma phalatyagi satyagityabhidhiyate.
Translation. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruit of action is called one who has truly renounced. Purport. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that one can never give up work at any time. Therefore, he who works for Krishna and does not enjoy the fruitive results, who offers everything to Krishna, is actually a renouncer. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in their factory or in the factory or some other place, and whatever they earn they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruit should be renounced. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Agyanam Janashalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Vande Guru Nisha Bhagavan Zisha Misha Avatarakam Tat Prakasham Sachak Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangitam Ajana Lambata Bhujo Kanaka Badato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambharo Dvijabharo Yoga Dharma Palo Vande Jagapriyakaro Karna Avataro Shri Radha Shaha Shri Madan Mohan Shri Radha Shaha Shri Govinda Charam Shri Radha Shaha Srila Shri Gopinath 18 Thako Hoi Gorya Anath 18 Thako Gorya Ke Koya Chen Aptashat 18 Charan Bando Tine Muranath Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada in this purport refers to members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work in their office or in the factory or some other place. At the time when Srila Prabhupada wrote this, ISKCON had few centers. They were all in America. Maybe there's one in Canada by that time also. And the society had no means of income per se. There were no donors. It was very much a fledgling society. This was even before the times when devotees started to go out chanting in the streets regularly, for which they would get some meager donations. So to support the activities of the society, devotees, they went to work, often in very menial jobs, factory jobs, or some Satsvarup Maharaj later. He was a social worker, working in an office mostly. But they would give all their income to the society. These were hippie dropouts. They didn't want to do any job, so they dropped out of society. But then after joining Prabhupada's ISKCON, they again took jobs. They went back to the system, as it was called, the established way of life, for earning money to support the activities of the fledgling ISKCON society. So some of the present gurus of ISKCON, I know one of them, he told me he was working in a factory. Actually, it was in Montreal, I believe it was, in Canada. He is working in a factory to earn money. Now, in modern India, there's a very strong concept of being a material success, especially among the, it seems, ever burgeoning middle classes who are very concerned that their children become successes. That means if they're working in a factory, they should be either a supervisor or a manager or the owner of the factory. But to be a manual factory worker is not considered a success. And the opposite of success is failure, which is considered abominable. So Prabhupada here is referring to devotees working in a factory, and actually this is, according to the context at that time, the devotees, they were mostly engaged in manual labor because they didn't have university degrees or ambitions to have successful careers. They didn't have university degrees, means not that they were not not that they were incapable of having them, but they didn't study. They dropped out. They were mostly college dropouts, those who went to college and in the middle thought, to hell with all of this, I'm going to be a hippie. And later on they became members of ISKCON, devotees. So they were not material successes. The title of this, or the subject of tonight's lecture, is material success and spiritual success. But the whole concept of success, I shall be a success, is actually antithetical to genuine spiritual life. We can talk of being a spiritual success, but from the point of view of a devotee, there's no such thing as being a success. A devotee simply thinks how he can serve Krishna. The idea of being a success, the concept there is that by my own effort, I shall conquer over, I shall make a mark, I shall show others that I'm better than others, I shall not be manipulated by others, but I shall manipulate others. Or the idea of being even if we say spiritual success, the idea is that by my own effort, I shall kick down the doors of Vaikuntha and march in and say, hey everybody, I'm here now. I'm a success. You can't do anything to stop. I did it. I chanted 64 rounds a day and I followed Ekadashi with severe fasting and now I did it. Now they must allow me to... Now I'll march in the doors of Vaikuntha. So this idea that by one's own endeavor one shall rise to a higher position than others. This is the idea of success, isn't it? You shall be a success. By your own endeavor, by your study and by your hard work, you shall rise to a higher position than others and be noticed by others and respected by others and have prestige. This is the idea of success. But spiritual life means to give up the ambition to be the controller or the doer. Or rather, I shall simply be a humble servant of Krishna, try to serve Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and depend on their mercy. And actually we are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Even the man who says that I am what I am today by my own efforts. I didn't depend on anyone else. By the sweat of my brow, I have risen to be what I am today. So it may appear like that. By my own effort, someone has come up. Dhirubhai Ambani, that was his name? Is the right name? Dhirubhai Ambani. He was a success. We don't know where he is now. But he is an example of a man who, by his own effort, he came up, he struggled, he worked hard, and he became a success. So, one who thinks like that is a fool, because we may say, I did it by my own effort. But we can't do anything unless we are allowed to by the Supreme Lord. We can't even scratch our forehead. It's easy to do that, isn't it? It might be. Generally we think just to scratch your ear, it's an easy thing to do. But as I had personal experience one morning, waking up in the winter, I couldn't move my arm at all. I had this kurta, I was wearing that, and usually get up in the morning in the cold winter and then take this off and then go brush teeth and take bath. But I couldn't get the kurta off because due to the cold, during the night my whole arm had become so stiff I couldn't move it at all. So just an ordinary thing. You don't even think about it. You get up in the morning and if you're wearing, as in the winter you might be wearing some clothes at night. You take that off and then you go brush it. But if you can't even pick up the toothbrush, then how are you going to brush your teeth? So we presume that we can do what I do. What is that Charminar cigarette advertisement? I get what I want. So that's the idea that by your own strength you shall conquer over others. But you can't. This strength, Balang Balavatang Chaham Tejas Tejas Venamaham, that's not our strength. We have no power to act on our own. Dhirubhai Ambani was successful in the material sense. But he wasn't the only one who was working hard and struggling and had good business plans. But due to some previous karmic result, he was able to become a success. Others, there's one devotee I know in South India, he has all these brilliant plans, actually very good business plans. And he follows them through and he's investing and he has all these different, making exhibitions, taking a whole train full of students on a tour of India. But always it happens that he's set up to make lakhs and crores of rupees, and at the last minute, always something goes wrong and he ends up in a loss. His plans are very good, but somehow there's something obstructing his making crores of rupees. Some unseen hand, that is called daiva, or fate. So the idea that I shall be a success, by my own effort I shall succeed, either materially or spiritually, is a failure of understanding. And then the idea that I shall be a success measured in terms of money, prestige, this is anyway foolishness, because first of all, even if you do get those things, no one's happy by having them. You can meet all the successful people. In the course of preaching Krishna consciousness, we meet many people, including many people. Not many, because to be a success, the number of successes is less than the number of middling people or failures. So we meet them, and although they have a sense of pride and prestige and achievement at being a success, that doesn't mean they're happy or contented. They have more facility for sense enjoyment, but the idea that sense enjoyment will bring us happiness is also foolishness. It's not true. And even if you are an outstanding success, Dhirubhai Ambani was an outstanding success in the history of post-independence India. But for all his success and all his properties, we can say he was a success. But now we don't know where he is. And according to the laws of nature, he must be in another body where he has to struggle again. That's another point. If one is a success, so-called, one has to struggle so much to become a success and to maintain that position. It's a big struggle. So the very idea of being a success in the material sense, showing oneself to be better than others or more prominent than others, is simply an exhibition of one's foolishness. misunderstanding of the actual purpose of life. Why should someone want to be a success? To show that he's greater than someone else and to enjoy facilities. But intrinsically, the Atma is, no Atma is greater than any other, and every Atma is less than Krishna. So no one can become the greatest. The Atma is by nature very small and insignificant. So even if you become a success, George Bush Jr. is famous all over the world. So what? There's a big, we think it's a big world, but it's just a tiny little speck in a vast universe. And it's, and even if you think, well, it's a tiny little speck, but let me be famous in it, you'll be famous just for a tiny moment of time. Space-time worm. You're here, you're gone. So what is the meaning of being the dogs in the street? They're running around, and one among them is respected more than the others. So he's feeling, I'm the top dog. What is the value of that? Among the rats, one is highly respected, more than the others. Among the monkeys, one monkey is, of course, monkeys, they don't have much concept of respect, but you won't find a monkey bowing down to another and very polite, but they defer out of fear to one who is stronger. So what is the great thing about being respected, about being noticed? It's all simply part of our perverted desire to imitate Krishna. Krishna, he should be respected. The Vaishnavas, they should be respected. They do not want respect, but they should be respected because they respect Krishna. Therefore, they are Mahatmas, great souls. So the idea, I shall become a success, people shall notice me, is simply an expression of envy for Krishna. And it cannot satisfy the soul, because envy of Krishna is opposite to the intrinsic nature of the soul. So because we have a perverted viparita buddhi, perverted intelligence, we think, I shall be happy by being respected, whereas actually we shall be happy by offering respect to Krishna. So the idea of being success is a tremendous endeavor one has to undertake, because nahi subtasya singhasya, what is that, vishate, what is it, nahi subtasya singhasya pravishyante mukhe mridam. No, not just by sitting. The lion is the most feared animal in the jungle, but he's not just sitting down and ordering the deer, now you come and enter my mouth. He has to do some work. He has to go and catch the deer. So one doesn't become a success simply by dreaming about it. One has to do some work. It's a lot of hard work. It's a big struggle to be a so-called success. But it's a struggle in the wrong direction. Because we can never be happy. Rather, we shall become more unhappy. No one will believe this. If we say that, you shall be more miserable if you become a success, no one will believe it. But actually it's a fact, because we're increasing our ahankar, that I am by myself, I am something very great. Or just to think that I am very great is progress in the wrong direction. To think I am a very small servant of Krishna is proper understanding. So the idea, I shall become a success by my own effort, I shall show myself to be very great, people will respect me, and then I shall get more facility for enjoying. This is another manifestation of our envy of Krishna, that I shall enjoy sense gratification. I shall have plenty of money, then I'll have a nice bungalow and a nice car and nice food and all facilities for enjoyment. But the idea that we shall enjoy separately from Krishna is a failure of understanding. We have not successfully utilized human life to understand that I am not meant for enjoying. I am meant for serving Krishna. So the very endeavor to be a material success is the cause of our failure. It is symptomatic of our failure to properly utilize human life. And the more one tries to be a material success, that means he's trying to exploit the situation. He's going further and further away from Krishna. And through acquiring facilities for material enjoyment, and by accepting respect and honor for others without giving them anything substantial, namely Krishna consciousness in return, by the laws of karma, one who is a material success in this life must take a very abominable position in the next life. That's why one who is very prominent, they're more likely to become a dog or a cat. It's actually a doggish mentality to think, I shall be better than others. By my own power, I shall dominate others and show myself to be better than others. Even the idea that, I shall be a success in the field of altruism, I'll be a good doctor or a good social worker, this also is simply a manifestation of our foolishness and forgetfulness of Krishna. To think that I shall help others by being a doctor, you cannot help. If someone has to suffer a certain kind of karmic reaction, you cannot alleviate that. And if you do so, if you apparently help people by treating them medically, still they have to suffer whatever they have to suffer. In another way. So the idea that I shall help others on the material platform without giving knowledge of Krishna is another act of envy of Krishna, ultimately. Now, people are very much enamored by the idea of being material success. But the platform on which one can actually achieve the goal of life, which we could call spiritual success, but here we'll have to understand the word success a little differently. Success means to attain that which is actually desirable. In that sense, spiritual success is the only success. To achieve that which we are meant to achieve, which means understanding that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, who are the servants of Krishna. So to attain that position, and understanding that this position can be attained only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and Krishna, that is actual success. But again, if the idea comes, I am doing by my own power, by my own endeavor, I am becoming a spiritual success. If that mentality is there, then even in spiritual life, we're not a success. Our spiritual life is spoiled by any increment of desire to dominate others or to show ourselves to be more prominent than others. It's a very dangerous syndrome. Even coming to spiritual life, even coming to Krishna consciousness, if that mentality of wanting to exploit others or show oneself better than others or use the facilities which are meant for Krishna consciousness for our own personal enjoyment or comfort, then even in the name of Krishna consciousness, it may appear that we are Krishna conscious, but actually we are cultivating material consciousness. So that's a danger we have to be careful of in Krishna consciousness, that we're chanting and we're doing service, but we may be cultivating desires for material enjoyment even in the name of Krishna consciousness. So then our Krishna consciousness may appear to be successful, that we are recognized by other devotees, or we have some facility or name or position, but that is not the goal of Krishna consciousness. To be recognized by others. If one, in the name of Krishna consciousness, if one is desirous to be recognized by others, then it's not Krishna consciousness at all. And even though one may, even though to others it may appear that he's a very great devotee, but it may be that one is going through a whole charade of acting as if an advanced devotee, simply to inspire others to say he's a very great devotee. And so you get the reward of being praised by others, but you don't get the reward of love of Krishna. So spiritual success is achieved by ceasing to think of our own self-interest measured in terms of how others shall praise me, how I shall achieve comfort and sense pleasure, to stop thinking in terms of one's own self-interest and simply think how I can utilize my time, my energy, my life simply for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is success. But it's completely different to the concept of success of materialists who cannot understand Krishna consciousness at all. That materialist, by definition, means one who wants to show himself better than others. And devotee or spiritualist, by definition, means one who wants to be the servant of all others. So the concept of material success and spiritual success are quite different. And especially in the beginning when people are coming to Krishna consciousness, or even after some time of taking to it, this understanding of what it means actually to be Krishna conscious, to fully be situated in that understanding, it's not such an easy thing. Or it seems to take some time to become really situated on that platform. Theoretically, we can understand and we can speak to others, we can tell others that Krishna consciousness means to have no desire other than to serve Krishna. But practically, to have that realization, it's not so widespread, it seems, because if one actually has this realization and acts on this platform, then one is a completely pure devotee. It means to have no material desires. Overcoming material desires is a gradual process. Bhavet kramaha. Pradurbhav in this prem, the process of achieving, achieving, when we say achieving, it means coming to the platform of consciousness in which we are blessed with love of Krishna. This whole idea of achieving, it's a very dangerous idea, but giving up material desires or becoming so wholly infused with the spiritual desire to serve Krishna, so that there's no room for any material desires. It's not just a question of giving up material desires, but rather having purely spiritual desires to serve Krishna. So to come to that platform, it generally doesn't take place overnight, and that's why the Vedic process is one of following dharma, vanashram, karma, karma yoga, sakam karma yoga, akam karma yoga, and gradually, gradually, gradually becoming purified In the Vedic literature, there are incentives. Perform this sacrifice and you can get some material result. It's all meant to gradually lead us to the platform of giving up our material desires and becoming fixed in the understanding that the real success of life is to surrender to Krishna. So that is actual success, to be a pure devotee of Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the actual exposition of Vedic knowledge, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu, that is preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their followers, they don't preach anything but pure devotion to Krishna, devoid of all material desires. Nevertheless, it's not expected that everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness will immediately overcome all material desires. And although one may understand that that is the goal, to overcome all material desires and to be fully situated in love of Krishna, to actually come to that platform may not happen very quickly. So there's one trick which the upper sampradayas, who Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fought against, they have one trick which is very dangerous. Upper sampradaya means they're apparently Vaishnavas, but they're not properly situated. So their trick is to pretend that we are Krishna conscious when we're actually not. Or to slightly adjust the understanding of Krishna conscious so that what is presented as Krishna consciousness is actually material consciousness. So they may pretend. For instance, they'll make a big show of crying in ecstasy of love of Krishna. So it's much easier to make a show of than to actually be free of all material desires. So if one cries, then others will respect him as a pure devotee. So it might appear to be great devotion, but actually it's all just a show for the sake of being respected by others. Or they may adjust the philosophy somewhat to say that, well, Krishna loves his devotees and Krishna wants his devotees to be happy. So I'm a devotee and I should enjoy sense gratification and be happy, and that is bhakti. Because then Krishna will be happy. So this adjustment of Krishna consciousness, it appears to be fully Krishna conscious, but there's something very wrong. Something that even though they may talk the language of bhakti, they may say prem and seva and so many things, but actually they're just cheating and hypocritical. Now, what is pure devotion then? Anyabhilashita shunyam, being free from the desire free from the propensity for having any other desire than to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Anukulyena Krishnanu shilanam. This verse is spoken by Rupa Goswami that we should cultivate Krishna consciousness in a manner that is favorable to Krishna. And what is favorable to Krishna? Then again, Rupa Goswami gives his whole book describing, and then the acharyas, they come and they delineate what is bhakti, what is shuddha bhakti, what is mishra bhakti, which is not real bhakti, what is micha bhakti, or cheating bhakti, so-called bhakti. So all these things should be understood very carefully. Otherwise, there's a danger that in the name of bhakti, we can be cultivating something else. Now, sometimes we hear it said that the topic, again, material success and spiritual success. So, sometimes our devotees, they're accused that, well, if you're so spiritual, well, then why do you introduce yourself as a PhD? Recently I got a letter from one godbrother of mine, and he put at the end of his guru such and such name, PhD. And then he explained in a bracket after, I'm putting PhD because mostly I'm moving in material circles who respect this thing. And then also it's to distinguish me from someone else who's got the same name, who does all kind of, makes funny comments all over the internet, and I don't want to be identified with him. Now he put his name, such and such, that's ACBSP, PhD. So he explained why he put PhD. It's not that I'm trying to show I'm better than you, but there's some reason for putting that. So sometimes I say, well, why are you so much enamored by that? Well, devotees shouldn't be enamored by that, but materialistic people are. So to make some impression, if materialistic people can hear from, if they can begin to hear from devotees, they can be benefited. Now materialistic people, they tend to respect other materialistic people. They look to see who is a success. If someone is a success materially and they've taken to Krishna consciousness, well, maybe I can take this seriously. I'm not going to listen to some illiterate, someone who's less than me, because their manner of, their outlook is so wholly materialistic. They cannot recognize a devotee for his spiritual qualities. So in the beginning, let them recognize for the material qualities. That's for the materialist, just like building a big temple. Temple is not required at all for practicing Krishna consciousness. It's Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. You don't need any temple for chanting the holy names. Building big temples is mostly to attract materialistic people. Of course, it's also to show how the Lord should be worshipped and how to worship Him. But worship of the Lord, especially in Kali Yuga, is best effected by chanting the holy names. So a temple is not needed, but then again it's needed for preaching, because materialistic people, if they see people just chanting the holy names, they don't understand the greatness of that. But if they see a big temple with lots of marble and big, obviously cross crores of rupees, so they think, okay, that's something. Some people with lots of money must have donated for this. So they're taking it seriously, so I can take it seriously. I can go to such a place, a marble temple, that will uphold my dignity. But if I go to some little broken down ashram with a leaking thatched roof, I'm not going to go to such a place. Why should I go there? Some beggar. Even though the person living there might be a Paramahamsa, but they cannot recognize that. So, some show of being a material success may be there, for the sake of attracting the attention of poor people. By poor people, I don't mean financially poor, but poor in outlook, sankuchita buddhi, very shriveled up intelligence, by which they think that the purpose of life is to get money and material qualifications and all these things, which are not only useless but worse than useless, because they tend to obfuscate the actual purpose, the endeavor to get these things, or the measurement of one's worth in terms of one's achievements of these things, obfuscates the actual purpose of life, which is to be Akinchan Krishna Das. Akinchan Krishna Das means without any, I have nothing but Krishna. I have nothing in this world. Nothing, I have nothing. Kuch lena dena nahi. From the whole world, I have nothing to give, nothing to take on the material platform. Only our only interest is to serve Krishna. So some material show might be there, and therefore sometimes it's said that for a devotee to be a material success is preaching. Now we have to be very careful with this. It can be that if one is a material success, that one is more likely to be listened to by others who are materially inclined. Although it may be that we'll be less listened to by people who are spiritually inclined. In the Western countries, this can be something of a dilemma. That if we have big opulent temples, then a certain class of person tends to think, oh, alright, this is something quite respectable. But then there's another class of person who says that, what's this, all this opulence, that's not very spiritual. So, it's a dilemma. In the Western countries, if you have big opulent temples, then certain class of people will come and be impressed. And another kind of person, which are not small in numbers, they'll think, their immediate impression, this is not very spiritual. So both of them are simply seeing by external vision. Whether a devotee lives in a palace or a hut or doesn't have any place to live at all, his Krishna consciousness is his spiritual asset. But for materialistic people, either those inclined towards bhog or tyag. Tyag is the flip side of bhog. So, they tend to judge in terms of externals. One godbrother of mine told me that that's his tendency. He's not much concerned with good clothing or any such thing. So, his cloth had ripped, his dhoti had ripped, and he goes around in these flip-flop shoes. What do you call them? Hawaii chappals. So, he was in Mayapur and his cloth ripped and he didn't bother to change it. And he was going to Navadvip, and in Navadvip people were seeing his ragged appearance. And they were very, oh, sadhu! They were thinking, this is something very wonderful. So he didn't become a better devotee because his cloth ripped that day. But they were thinking like that. That is their external vision. So for some people, if you show opulence, they'll be attracted. And for other people, if you show, they'll be repelled. But generally in this country, in India, in many ways, from what I can see, Indian people are the most materialistic in the world. The most pious and also the most materialistic. People in India, more than in other countries, are interested in, very much concerned with being a material success. Which is one reason why in America so many of the IT professionals are from India. Because in the Western countries, people are not, in many cases, they're not so much concerned. I'll just earn some money and live, and what do I need to work so hard to get lots of money and be a... Often people, they're not so much concerned. That why should I work so hard, and if I get enough money and I have a TV and a dog and a girlfriend, and then, you know, why should I work so hard? I can enjoy myself without working so hard. So why should I... I can enjoy enough. So, but Indian people are very materialistic and they're very much concerned with being successes. And so they are, in many cases, successful. So, when we say that, well, you can be a success and that will be preaching, we have to be very careful with this, because it's true that if one's motive is purely to preach, then one's material success will be helpful. But then to be a material success, generally you have to be quite materialistic also. And you have to invest time into it. If you're going to have a successful career, you're going to have to work at least as hard as everyone else who's your competitor. Because to be a successful career means you conquer over the opposition. There are plenty of other people who want that coveted position as the head of department or CEO or whatever it may be. So you have to really put a lot of time and energy and effort into it. And the result of that is that one won't have so much time for hearing and chanting about Krishna, which is the real purpose of life. So one may be a devotee, but you may not be able to become very deep in Krishna consciousness if you're very much concerned with having a successful career. And if you are so much concerned with having a successful career, then it often means that, well, you're a devotee, but at the same time, we have strong material desires that we want to show ourselves to be a success. So we're kind of, it's like a kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of situation in which you're, you know that, what that means, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? I don't know that. There's a story by Aldous Huxley, someone, I can't remember his name, of someone, there was one polite gentleman who was, as a hobby, he used to do chemical experiments. This was quite common in the 19th century, in when this book was written, or early 20th century. So he made some chemical concoction, which upon drinking it, his appearance and his whole attitude changed, so he became like some kind of complete demon. He was the same person. So sometimes he was, when he took that chemical concoction, he became like a complete fiend or demon. And at other times, he was a nice gentleman. It's something like Superman in reverse. That Superman's just a normal person and then he becomes Superman by taking Krypton or something like that. Some silly story. So, one's a devotee, but at the same time, one has many material desires. So he says that, well, actually I want to pursue a successful career because then people will listen to me preaching, to my preaching more. Which is possibly true, but at the same time, that may not be the whole and sole reason. One wants to have a successful career because he wants to be respected by others. He wants to please his materialistic parents who want to see him be a material success. He wants to be recognized in society for reasons other than being a devotee. So we can be deceiving ourselves and others by saying, well, we're only doing it for preaching. So it may be that we can attract others, but we can attract others to this kind of karma mishra bhakti of being materialistically successful and at the same time being devotees. But pure devotional service means to give up all material desires. So one, if one can actually be so detached from being a material success and at the same time cultivate Krishna consciousness, then in an absolutely detached way, which is very rarely achieved, one can endeavor to be a material success for the sake of preaching. But ultimately our preaching will be successful if we are deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, which again is difficult to achieve if we are cultivating or spending the time and energy and cultivating the consciousness that's required to be a material success. To be a material success, one has to push oneself up above others. It's antithetical to Krishna consciousness. So the two things, they don't go very well together, although it is possible to be a material success and to be Krishna conscious. But intrinsically, the two things don't go very well together. So unless one is a very advanced devotee, to be a material success will generally result in the mada, Janmaishwarya Sutra Sri Edamana Mada, or the madness of thinking I'm something better than others. One may think I'm a better devotee. I'm a PhD devotee. He's only an MSc devotee. I'm a heart surgeon devotee, and this one's only a GP devotee. So this kind of material calculation, it is a absolutely materialistic way of thinking, by which one may be apparently in Krishna consciousness, but at the same time cultivating a materialistic outlook, in which we may subtly present something as being Krishna conscious, which isn't. That I'm doing just like someone, these upper sampradayas. Well, I'm enjoying sense gratification just to give pleasure to Krishna, because Krishna is happy when his devotees are happy. So I better go and eat some ice cream quickly, because Krishna, he won't be happy to see me sitting here not enjoying my senses. So let me enjoy my senses, then Krishna will be happy. So it's a perverted understanding of Krishna consciousness. It's true that Krishna is happy when his devotees are happy, but then a devotee is happy in serving Krishna and helping others to come to Krishna's service. When a devotee's happiness is only in seeing Krishna happy, a devotee has no sense of being happy on the mundane platform. So this is a perverted understanding that I'm a devotee, I shall be materially happy, and then Krishna will be happy. So the idea that I shall be a material success and that will be good for preaching may be good to, it may be true to some extent. But then if we don't have the purity which comes from detachment, from any trace of any desire for material enjoyment, then we may be, our preaching may seem to be successful in as much as other people become attracted to what we are presenting as Krishna consciousness, which is not actually Krishna consciousness, which is, we may be presenting that Krishna consciousness means that you be a material success and then you be a devotee. But whereas this so-called material success or not, it's got actually nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So this is actually the Protestant idea, or prominent, particularly in many strands of Christian Protestant thinking. The idea that God helps those who help themselves, so that if one is a material success, this is a sign of God's mercy. And poverty is therefore considered a sin. So it's considered a sign that you're a very pious person if you go to church and you're a material success. That means God likes you. It's a misunderstanding. It's a very grave misunderstanding that Krishna can be satisfied only by full self-surrender. But the tendency always of the conditioned soul is to take, even if he's presented with pure Krishna consciousness, is to take that and, well, either to reject it or ignore it, or even if one accepts the teachings of bhakti, to accept them superficially and twist them to put it in line again with our sense gratification. So always the path of bhakti is being hijacked by persons who they may themselves think that I'm a great devotee, and others may also think they're a great devotee, but for absolutely external reasons. Just like there's the Nityananda Vamsa or some Advaita Vamsa, persons who are supposed to be descended seminally from Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, and people think that they are great devotees. Why are they great devotees? Because they are descendants of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. But that is not any criterion. In fact, among Advaita Prabhu's direct sons, of course the whole, every living creature is his son, but those who apparently were his sons, some were from the very beginning against the path of Advaita Acharya and rejected from the path of pure devotional service. But by material understanding, someone may see, oh, descendant of Advaita Prabhu, that he must be a great devotee. So, to put any material criterion on devotional service, to fail to recognize the actual jewel of devotional service, means that we have again come to the material platform. Therefore, Siddhanta Balya Chitte Na Karoha Alosh Yeha Hoite Krishne Lage Sudhira Manosh. We should painstakingly try to understand, or take the trouble to understand what actually is Krishna consciousness according to Siddhanta, that which is given by Vyasadeva, that is which is given by the Acharyas. Otherwise, the tendency is to be superficial. Materialistic people are by definition superficial. They only see the external. But bhakti is subtle. To appreciate what is actually bhakti, that requires our intelligence to be developed from the gross to the subtle. The gross external platform to the subtle understanding of what it means to satisfy Krishna. So the Acharyas, they are practically rebels against the material, or rather they are emissaries of that which is true, that which is correct, this param satyam, vasava vastu. They are emissaries of what is correct, what is right, in the land of the rebels. So in the land of the rebels, they appear to be rebels and revolutionaries, although they are only speaking the actual fact. But the tendency to pervert their message, it happens always. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke was perverted by persons for their own personal so-called self-interest. What Jesus spoke was changed. Jesus was not a meat-eater or a drunkard, as it would appear from the present rendition of the New Testament. He was a sadhu. But they wanted to change his message, so they did. So we have a different message to what he spoke. So this point, although in one sense it can be true that to be a material success is good for preaching, at the same time we have to be very careful to understand what this means. This statement has to be qualified. By qualified, that means we have to understand that it's not intrinsically a fact, but that under certain conditions it may be true. It's not, otherwise every materially successful person should be a good preacher. But one can only be a good preacher if one is actually Krishna conscious himself. So one can be an instrument in imparting Krishna consciousness to others, that much that one has received the mercy of Krishna consciousness himself. Simply to walk in the door of an ISKCON temple and have some tilak put on your forehead and mumble something resembling the Hare Krishna mantra in between working hard to be a material success, doesn't mean that one is actually a devotee. Of course, you may be a devotee to some extent. And the idea that we should preach Krishna consciousness will only come from devotees. But to be a devotee means that we have to cultivate the spirit of submission to Krishna, humility, and to understand that everything in this world has no meaning. That even if I'm a so-called big shot, head of a company, or prominent scientist, or rock star, or sannyasi, or guru, or all these things, they in and of themselves, they have no meaning. Of course, if one is a guru only for the satisfaction of Krishna, then that's pleasing to Krishna. But being a rock star or head of a company is not pleasing to Krishna in and of itself. It can be if one utilizes that position for imparting the message of Krishna to others. But in as much as there is any desire for personal recognition, that is material. And that cannot, if we ourselves are in material consciousness, then we cannot actually impart Krishna consciousness to others. Prabhupada writes here that those who work in the factory and give all their money to the society, they're actually sannyasis. That's what they were doing. They were working and they gave all these devotees, they gave all their money. They were working in the factory not to be a success or to get money for sense gratification, but simply so that Prabhupada's mission could go on. So Prabhupada praised that. And we praise someone who someone gives lakhs of rupees for building a temple, we may put their name on a plaque. But we'll see that they're building another temple also. They have their own house, which is much bigger and more plush than the temple. And so they gave a few lakhs for building a temple, but they spent crores on their own house. So that's not exactly in the same line that Prabhupada's saying here. That they work, someone who works and earns not very much, but gives it all to Krishna, is spiritually better situated than someone who earns huge amounts of money and gives only a percentage of that. Someone who gives 1 crore of rupees to Krishna but spends 99 crores for his own sense gratification is not as spiritually well situated as someone who earns 1,000 rupees and gives 1,000 rupees for Krishna consciousness, even though the funds being given by the rich man are much more, but the sacrifice or the spirit of giving is not the same as one who gives everything. You may think, well, how can I give everything? But these devotees were doing that. There was actually one disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That was the standard he wanted, that his householders, they should give everything. If you're working, you should give everything. So one of his disciples did that. Whatever he earned, he just gave it all to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who then arranged for a small amount to be given to his wife. He kept most of it and just gave a very small amount to his wife. His wife and sons, they weren't very happy with that. But he didn't care. He went on with that. And eventually they surrendered to it. They thought, well, we might as well join. So they also became devotees. And his wife came to the Gauriya Mata Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur bringing all her jewelry and said that because her husband, he only came home late at night from he was professor, so he would go from the college directly to the mat and take part in all the activities of the mat up to late. Then he would finish chanting off his 64 rounds, come home late at night, get up in the morning and go off to the college. So he was practically never seen at home. So his wife came and brought all her jewelry and gave them to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, he for whom they are meant is here, so the jewelry might as well be here also. So whether she meant her husband or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's not clear, but in either case, his heart was not in his home. He was materially a success. He was a prestigious professor. But he was spiritually a success because he got the blessings of his Guru Maharaj by his highly surrendered attitude, which caused Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to say that he is even the guru of sannyasis. They may not be as surrendered as he is. So he was a spiritual success by actually giving everything to Krishna, not even theoretically. So if one can live like that, then that's surrendered life in the Grihastha ashram. So that's some points of discussion. We have to see that we have to be very careful that we're not, in the name of bhakti, cultivating material desires. That's very dangerous. If one admits, I have certain material desires, and I'd like to, all right, I have these material desires, and I want to, I'm weak spiritually, so I don't find it possible to give up these material desires immediately, but let me, according to the directions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, let me live my life according to my level of spiritual advancement and seriously endeavor to become more advanced spiritually. Let me do, according to my present status and capability, let me try to become gradually advanced in Krishna consciousness and try to gradually give up material desires. So with that recognition of our situation, we can make spiritual advancement. But if we fail to recognize our material desires and pass them off as spiritual desires, that is very dangerous. So we can become a spiritual success when we completely give up the idea that I should be a success. Our lives will be successful when we simply think how to serve Krishna and the Vaishnavas. That is success in itself. There's no need of it. We shouldn't think that, well, I have to do so many things, and I have to preach, and I have to open so many centers. There's no need to think like that. That desire will come automatically if we think how I can serve Krishna. But if from another motive we think, I have to show myself, I have to do something to make others notice me, from that motive, if we try to preach, it will all be a, even from the point of view of preaching, it will be a failure. As we've seen in the history of our ISKCON, that some of devotees, they desired to preach Krishna consciousness, but their motive was, it appears, was to show themselves better preachers than others. And although for some time it was a success, because it was based on a material platform of self-aggrandizement, before long it all collapsed. So purity is the force. Purity that comes from cultivating the attitude of selflessness, hearing and chanting nicely about Krishna, and not being very concerned with whether I'm a so-called success or not. In fact, this concern about what others should think of me is very dangerous in Krishna consciousness. We should only think, what does Krishna think of me? What does good guru, sadhu, what do they think of me? Am I pleasing them? This should be our motive. I'm going to finish here. I'll take one or two questions. It's already 9 o'clock. If anyone wants to ask a question. Now, please. Give the mic. This may be difficult to digest.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
It may be difficult to understand or accept. I know. But if we can digest, it will be very nourishing for us.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I would like to know that just you are saying that regarding material desires, we should not desire too much to have the material desires or material success. Just I like to know that what type of consciousness we should have, that while in practical life or material life, if we are to live, that some type of desire or maybe some maybe up to little extent is required. So what type of
maybe what, sorry? What did you say? Maybe something is required? Maybe what is required?
If suppose I have to do education, or if I have to do some job, or maybe increment or something.
One thing
like
you're
that.
Saying practical life, but actually what we call practical life, it's very impractical for Krishna consciousness. The modern way of life is very impractical. You have to work so hard and you have to put so much concentration into it. It's a demoniac society. Traditional life is not like that. Traditional life is very much, it can be very easily dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Modern life cannot. Not so easily. Everything in modern life militates against Krishna consciousness. So, how do we do this practically? Not easy. One has to have strong sadhana, strong association. But then the so-called practical life means that you have to work. So that's why I say it's not very practical for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, seeing this, wanted to make rural communities where, he said, the main reason for this is so that we can save time for being Krishna conscious. Because in modern life, where's the time? We're so busy. It requires time to chant the holy names. We need time every day to study Shastra, to hear Shastra. It requires time. In modern life there's no time. All right, if there's no more questions, all right, one more question I'll take. I'm only going to take one more, it's already 9 o'clock and I have to go for 5 minutes and come.
Maharaj, I have a tendency to go to the extreme. Sometimes,
You have a tendency.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to give you personal advice now.
Yes, in general. Sometimes we go
it's
to...
It's not in general, though. It's about you, isn't it? So, I'm speaking in a general way, general principles that all may consider. For yourself, personally, your particular mentality, then you please consult with those who know you very well. All right, one more question now.
Maharaj, if we have personal desires, saving for mother and father, and then
saving our mother and father,
saving money, and then afterward come to Krishna consciousness full time.
Yeah, first of all, I shall be a millionaire, then I'll come to Krishna consciousness. First of all, I'll become world golf champion. Then I'll come to Krishna consciousness. What do you think? Is it a good idea?
No, means just to support financially to parents and then fully.
There are two outlooks. One is that one should, understanding that one cannot actually do anything for others and everything is in the hands of Krishna, and that one should immediately take whatever opportunity one has, one should immediately give up all material attachments and fully surrender to Krishna. That is what everyone should do, theoretically. But as we're not, we might say that, but as we do have material attachments and we're not able to act on that platform, even if we just leave everything behind, again we'll be thinking, did I do the right thing or did I not do the right thing? So, and we also might set a, in doing so we might set a bad example for others who, they're not on that platform but they just want to avoid the responsibility. If one has material desires, then he has to take material responsibility. So one may be devoid, one may not have material desires, and has very strong spiritual desires simply to serve Krishna, and therefore gives up all material responsibility to do so. But in doing so, he may also, that example may be misused by persons who do have so many material desires, but they want to avoid the material responsibility. So in the name of spiritual life, they give up their material responsibility, which they is required for them. For someone who has no material desires, he also has no material responsibility. But for one who has material desires, then he also has material responsibility. So again, what you should do in your life and to what extent, I can speak here general principles. But how that is applied in your life, I'm not going to attempt to answer it now. It wouldn't be correct of me to do so, not knowing you and your situation. But in general, one has to take some material responsibility concomitant with his material desires. If you are working and earning money and they think, well, I'm a devotee, so I don't have to give anything to my parents. And then, if you're so much a devotee, then you should do the best service for your parents by delivering them by full commitment to Krishna consciousness. But then, if you're also not ready for that, then you shouldn't attempt that either. All right, I'm going to finish now. So, what's next program? The next program for me is getting off this big seat and going and coming back in 5 minutes.